I'm Coach Mickey.
And I'm Mel.
And we are so glad that you're with us. And you are on Coach Mickey, Mel, and Friends. And as promised each month, we are so excited because this is our monthly edition of Hawk Friends. And we are so glad for those of you that join us on a regular basis. And for those that are joining us for the first time, come on in, make yourself comfortable, grab your favorite cup of coffee, tea, or whatever beverage you're drinking in the world. And we are so excited to have you. And we still love hearing your comments, your questions, and your suggestions that you bring to us each and every week to bring on our guests. And we love this format and this section, just as we do with some of our other guests, like W.R. Frady, who does our Friday Night Frights each month. And that'll be coming up next week. So stay tuned for that. I know you guys love all that. And this section, I absolutely love with Terry James Hawk, because we've had opportunities to work together in the past in multiple avenues, especially on his radio station 102.3 HFM in London, and we get the opportunity to still connect and bring in all these amazing artists. So Terry, how are you? So glad to have you today.
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. And Dorothy sends her regards to everybody, of course, etc. And fine. Touch wood, everything A-OK over here.
That's awesome. Will you bring us some of the best guests? I tell you, and I'm really excited to introduce this guest, because she has got some incredible music, and you guys are going to love it. And we're going to give you a little bit of background about her. She is an award-winning international composer, vocalist, instrumentalist, and a producer with 15 solo albums. She has recently returned from a 30-city tour throughout the Pacific Northwest, Australia, and New Zealand. So she specializes in electroacoustic music, dance, yoga, meditation, and also kinetic voice. She's the creator of Kinetic Voice, which is going to be so much fun to talk about, which encourages healing, empowerment, and through simultaneous with the voice and dance movements. She also encourages a lot of positive change in the world, and also has a nonprofit called the Singing Tree Institute. So thank you so much, Liz Addison. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Nikki, how are you?
I'm doing good. So Terry, take it away. This is your gig.
Oh, greetings, Liz. Wonderful to hear your voice and to speak to you again. It seems a long time since we last spoke, doesn't it?
It does, Terry. It's good to hear that accent on you.
But it's great. And I'm so pleased that I really did enjoy, as you know, your album Elements. It was really, really most moving in many different ways. And I know that you enjoyed my little review of it, but that's the way it is. You know, I put down it was your latest album. It's fabulous, awesome, soft and meaningful vocals and delightful flowing melodies combined with smooth electronica and ambience, and this English and Sanskrit mantras honouring the earth, air, fire, water elements, and way, way beyond. I just couldn't believe what I was listening to. And you know I mean it, because you know me better. Wonderful.
Wow. Thank you.
It was great. And, you know, I liked all the tracks, etc. But I did particularly like Breathing Green, the up-tempo rhythm of Earth, and Mother Waters, Sister Wind. Sister Wind. And then this last task, choose happiness. And I know that you would choose happiness all the time, wouldn't you?
Well, I do my best. You know, it's not always easy to do in this world.
No, it's not.
Is it? You know, there's so much going on, both socially and environmentally, but it's a real task for us to transcend that which occurs and choose happiness as a way of living. It's a challenge.
It is a challenge. Life has always been a challenge, isn't it, Liz?
Yeah, it has been. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because this isn't the domain of the modern, you know, life challenges. This is kind of our human species is good at creating challenges, and we've had challenges living here, but it's a kind of our job and our practice to choose happiness, to transcend all that. Yeah. And it's not easy, you know. That's why it's a practice. We'd all be enlightened and ascended if it were easy.
Which of those tracks do you particularly like yourself? I know you've done a video of the breathing life, green healing. It's a beautiful video. I encourage people to check it out. It is extremely moving. But which one of the tracks do you particularly like?
Because
I know you got a favorite.
I don't really. How could I? They're like my children, you know. How can you have a favorite child? I love them all. But, you know, at different times I listen more to others, or I want to play more, one more than another. So Breathing Green was really, really uppermost in my mind when we were doing the video. And I love that one because it's just about this magic moment when the sun turns a cell into chlorophyll, producing energy so we can live. It's just magical. You know, it's a scientific thing, but it's also like so much of life. It's a miracle that it even happens. When I was in Europe, though, both my children live in Europe. We were in France a lot. Our daughter lives in France, and every airport has these pianos. It just has pianos for people to play. And so I would sit down and I would play. And the piece I chose to play was Sister Wind. I just love to play it on the piano. It's really fun. It's a piano forward piece. So are you asking me where to start?
Which piece?
Okay, let's do Sister Wind.
I think that's fine. You know, I just love the way that it's it's like an emotional Sister Wind, isn't it? You know, wow. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to do in this album is connect us spiritually to the elements, or just get us to think about the elements as our kin, you know, our mother waters and sister wind and father sun, and to think about them not as, you know, resources. I think our culture does that a lot. These are resources. The trees are resources and the waters are resources, and it just separates them from being a living thing. These are beings that we share this earth with, and without them, 3 minutes without the air and we're done. Four days without the water and we're done. So we just take this so for granted and talk about them as resources, as money-making things. And I think it does a devaluation and disservice to these beings, these elements, these alive bits of the earth that are make our lives possible.
Yeah, it's like the track Rhythm of Earth. You know, I love the way it's up tempo, builds up nicely and smooths away, etc. I was really, really impressed with that, and I felt there was something quite deep in there that you were keeping to yourself about the rhythm of Earth.
absolutely not. And I really am I'm so proud of you for feeling, when you say deep, it is literally the indigenous people of this land teach us about the heartbeat of the earth. So the medicine drum is the heartbeat of the earth. This song, Rhythm of Earth, is about feeling the heartbeat of the earth as if she's a being. She's our mother earth, right? Now, Horizon Line, conversely, is a different perspective of the earth. It's from, say, a satellite or a star looking at the edge of the earth from a distance. So you really hit it, Terry. You really hit it. And I'm really glad that you did, because this is about the deep rhythm of the Mother Earth, that steady heartbeat.
And I think that it's certainly reflected, you know, in the final track, you know, Choose Happiness. You know, who wouldn't choose happiness? But everybody has a different type of happiness, don't they, Liz?
Well, I wouldn't know. I mean, I can only imagine, right? I only know the one that I you know? I know the things that I love to do and that make me happy. And I think that there's maybe an inquiry for each of us to decide that exact question. It's a profound question. What is it that makes us happy? I mean, you know, a spiritual teacher might say we are already inherently happy, but we separate ourselves from that happiness by getting down or being depressed or grousing or criticizing or not having enough food and water or not having enough money, not having a job, right? And there could be also a moment to stop and look at the water flowing and feel the rain and look at that sunset and feel the other beings alive with us to as an opportunity, possibly, if you're wired that way, to choose happiness, because it's a beautiful world we live in, this natural world.
It is. It's sometimes very difficult to assess it when so much is going on that makes it almost unhappiness, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Exactly.
But we need to, you know, you have to put that to one side and concentrate and accept whatever's going on. And that's what I like about Mother Waters, the fact that the water, you know, the giver of life, etc., it blends in nicely with all the other tracks, etc., and it speaks, you know. And I particularly like the mantra that you use as well. It's fabulous.
Thank you. That is, I felt that the Sanskrit mantras paired really well with the meanings of the English mantras. So in English, I'm acknowledging the water as a giver of life, right? We're so fortunate to have water on this planet, and it's likely life started in the water and we crawled out on land and developed. But the mantra that's paired with that, the Sanskrit mantra, it's literally an antidote to sadness and misery. So in addition to honoring the waters as a giver of life, if we think about just the river flowing down and flushing and cleansing, and then singing that, it can provide an antidote to sadness and misery, to wash away a lot of these thoughts and these mind forms that clog us up, and just free that up to be happier, to not be sad and miserable. And you said the key word, accept. Accept what is. Yeah.
And that's what I think that the, you know, your the video that you did, you know, the breathing green healing mantra, etc., that people watching that, they will know exactly to what degree musically you're trying to say, and people will adapt to it, and they can concentrate on it, relax to it, and even, you know, unwind to it up to a point. And you can do that, but it speaks a lot for itself, the music and the vocals. Particularly, I like it. Like, I would encourage people to check it out. You know, it's beautiful. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that one. And the mantra with that song supercharges the process of becoming all we can be. So I already talked about that magic moment where the sun turns a cell into green energy. And I'm thinking, if a cell can do that, then just think of what we can do. So I paired that mantra with the green English mantra, and it feels like just an admonishment or an encouragement of becoming all we can be, that untapped potential within each of us. That's what that's about.
And I think breathing green is the same as treating life in a green sort of way with your plants, etc., whatever it is, grow trees, etc., etc. And I know you've been doing something with trees as well, haven't you?
Yes, well, you probably remember 10 years ago I started a nonprofit after a trip to Africa. And I followed one of my favorite heroes, Wangari Maathai. She was a scientist in Kenya, and she and her company, the Green Belt Movement, literally have planted up to almost 60 million trees in Kenya to reforest. And I'm a tree person. I love trees. They're the lungs of the earth. They inhale carbon and exhale oxygen. We need them. They're wise beings. They're gorgeous. And so I've done a lot of tree planting, and I do have a nonprofit called the Singing Tree Institute. And the other piece of that, since I'm an artist as well as an environmentalist, I've been attempting to document the songs and dances that were sung and danced when seeds were planted and harvested in that tradition, which is the Kamba community there just outside of Nairobi, Kenya.
Oh, I love it. Well, tree hugging and whatever. What about tree climbing? Do you still do that?
I love to climb trees. Yeah,
I know.
Do you remember getting zap on your tree, on your hands when you were a little kid from climbing Trees, I like that. It's so hard to get off.
I'm sure I remember seeing you climbing a tree once.
I don't think so.
Oh, all those years ago when we last met up. Can't believe it, you know. Mm-hmm. How long's that been? 3, 4, 5 years ago? Whenever it is. Wow. Doesn't time fly?
When you came here, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Much longer, like 7 years.
Really? Good grief. Oh, yeah. Wow.
I think it was eight years, 7 or 8 years ago. It was a while ago, Terry.
Sure.
Yeah, time really is flying, isn't it?
It does. It seems to fly quickly in some ways, and other times it seems to go on and on and on and on. And
yeah,
on.
Right.
But you just have to keep a positive mind and a positive attitude and et cetera. And it's surprising what difference, you know, that can make to your life and to your friends and family, can't it, Miss?
I hope so. You know,
it will.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I hope so. But I think as a creative, there's almost never enough time because I have, oh, the next project and the next project and the next project. I've just always got my head in some project. And I'm also a professor. I teach environmental science and music theory at a digital arts college here. So I just have a lot of stuff I like to do.
Well, I'm sure you've got your next album somewhere tucked away in the back of that mind of yours. And we look forward to when you put it together again and present it, etc., with another gorgeous video. That would be delightful, Liz. Well done, madam.
Thank you, my dear. You know, right now I'm just happy to give Elements the honor that it deserves. Mm. And that's kind of different for me because I am like, oh, I can finish that. Okay, next project. But this one I want to give some space and some breath because I think it deserves it.
I felt it was very deep in its meanings and what it was projecting. And I think everybody would see it and hear it in a different way. But, you know, you can either feel it emotionally, you know, or even physically, up to a point you want to dance, etc. Yeah. But it's wonderful that all those different emotions, you know, you can get from hearing and listening to music and singing, etc. Beautiful, isn't it?
Thank you. Well, you know, we don't ever really know what other people are going to get. We can intend. I can have meanings. I can, you know, this is what I was thinking about when I created it or when it came through me, but that doesn't mean that another person will actually get it. Although I have found, like you just said about Rhythm of Earth, that it was deep, you know, you felt that heartbeat. And then I have found that fortunately the specific messages in many instances are coming through. So that's gratifying because I want to be able to communicate something of beauty and positivity, but then everybody's going to grab it and go with it and riff with it the way they do. And that's the beauty of of sound, you know.
It is, and it's fabulous the way that people respond to it, you know. And, you know, I certainly would look forward to seeing that being performed live on the stage somewhere. That would be lovely, that would, because I'm sure that would give it a whole new depth of meaning. But what do I know?
Well, no, I'm glad you said that because I am actually wanting to do an unplugged version. So I play piano and I'm an electronic artist. I have a master's in electronic music, as you know. So I've been doing electronics and producing for a long time. But I do sing and play the piano and play the tambura, which is an Indian instrument, play the hand drums. So I do want to give it a live iteration because I will be traveling quite a bit. And sometimes it's nice to just be able to sit down and play rather than to have all the electronics and the plugging in and all that. So I am working on an unplugged version of this to tour with. And it's nice. So this kind of brings me to another point about the piece. I was just going to say it's nice to pare down the music to its most basic elements, right? Because as an electronic musician, I have gazillion sounds on my computers and strings and electronics and bass and keyboards. And I play all the instruments, guitars and harps. I play them all and, you know, program it all. But with the unplugged version, it's just the voice and the piano, which is where I started as a young songwriter way back. But also when I wrote this music, I paired the scales down to their most basic elements. So I basically started each melody and each song with a pentatonic scale, which is a 5-tone scale versus a 7-tone scale. And that's also something that is heard in a lot of indigenous traditions, the 5-note scale, trying to get it just closer and closer to the earth and to the elements. And I think that might be one reason why you respond, Terry. Also, it's just very direct, musically.
It's funny how people will translate music, you know, to themselves, you know. They will see it and feel it and in sometimes totally different ways. And you think, oh, I didn't think I would be feeling like that, etc. But it is fabulous. And, you know, I really look forward to if there's going to be an Elements 2 or whatever it is. Or a
really? Oh, that's a cool idea.
I think there will be.
Keep that in mind. So I kind of have a question for you. What were some of the feelings that you had?
What, sorry?
What were some of the feelings that you had?
It's emotional. You know, obviously, knowing you, I've meeting you, except your husband, etc. I got to know you in that respect. And sometimes knowing you that way, and then you could, the music often sounds differently because you know where that music and those emotions are coming from, and it can make all the difference, you know. Same as if I was in the studio with you. I think I did hear you playing the piano, whatever it is, once or twice, etc. But it does make a difference when you are there in the studio. It probably even more interested, you know, to actually be in the studio while you're recording, because they give another totally different type of emotions, etc. But in the end, you put the CD on or you put the tape on, and there you go. Sit back, enjoy, relax, mantra this and mantra that, and then suddenly there you are. We are all less Addison at life. Yeah.
Mantra this and mantra that. That's funny. You know, I'm a lyricist, and I used to write a ton of poetry when I was younger, and I find the older I get, the less I say. So you know, some of my albums are actually vocables, so they're not even language words, they're just vowel sounds, open sounds, you know, kind of for sound healing and vibrational purposes. And then on this album, I did a teeny little snippets of English and little snippets of mantra. And it just felt as if that was enough. That was enough.
Sometimes that is enough. You know, one person, oh, too much of that, groggy. And then for another person, oh, that's beautiful. You know, it just blends in nicely, etc. Can I just ask you something? I'm just looking back at your history, etc. I noticed that you talked about the vision quest that you was on.
Yeah.
And were you nearly struck by lightning, and were you bit by a rattlesnake?
I wasn't bitten by a rattlesnake, but I was walking past one, and I was so close. I was like 3 inches away from it, and it coiled, and it rattled, and it went in its strike position. And I was like, okay. And I slowly continued past.
That happened to me when I was over there as well. That out in again, because you can hear it. Oh, it's so steep. Where is it? I said, don't look for it. Just walk away from it or whatever it is. And it is strange to hear that rattling, etc. But thankfully, I got away. No problem at all. But
they're probably more scared of us than we are. They're as scared as we are of them. But the thing is that one doesn't want to step on a rattlesnake.
No,
you know, they hide, but you know, they'll hide underneath a rock. And so maybe you step over or down from a rock and they can be right there. And so they surprise because, you know, they're trying to hide and they don't love us. And yeah, and it's pretty startling. Yeah, I had all these experiences. This was quite a while ago, and all these kind of experiences of transcendence, and so That's when I realized, I was thinking about it. That's when I started to think about sound healing. It was many, many decades ago. And I started to put a lot of the sound healing frequencies. I became really interested in the vibration of my voice as a healing tool.
Right.
Getting away from performance and, you know, the whole ego aspect of it. And how can I serve others with my art? And so that is kind of what happened in that pivotal moment of the Vision Quest. It became, my work became a service versus an ego gratifying thing. And I was living in LA at the time and just not loving that whole ego culture. And so I found it, what for me felt to be a deeper purpose with my talent.
Well, your talents are coming through so strongly in the musical, in emotional way as well. And I wish you every success as you continue to entertain your audience and the people who love your music and love you, etc., including myself and Lady Hawk. We love you as well. And who knows? We could come knocking on your door again. Who knows?
I wish. You guys keep skipping the Bay Area. That's cooler. We keep going to the desert. So come on down. We have lots of redwood trees to walk through. It's just beautiful. You're welcome anytime. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you very much. It's been fabulous speaking to you again. And yes, I can't wait to meet up as the future opens up for us and things, etc. With all the problems of COVID, etc. Well, it's all going to go away hopefully soon. But here we are. We have to put up with that at the moment, don't we, dear?
Well, things are pretty open. I'm planning a tour to Europe and the Middle East and Africa in the fall. Yeah, and it's things are opening up, so maybe I'll come to you first. Maybe I'll come to the UK first.
Aha! Sounds beautiful. Yeah. You'll be more than welcome. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Terry.
Beautiful. Oh, lovely, lovely. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Mickey and Mel. Thank you very much. It's been fabulous.
Hi, yes, it's me, Mel. I do have a I do have a question for you. Terry, thanks to Terry, he introduced me to your music. And recently I did suffer a tragedy. And so when listening on your music last night while I was doing some yoga, it did really touch upon a moment inside of me. And so I was wondering, after reading your bio and everything, how did you tap into this type of, I know you mentioned, you know, the chance, but how did you reach inside in yourself and where did you find it to incorporate music with sound, with voice and be able to affect people the way you did, with your music? I mean, is it just being a part of nature and getting back to basics, or how did you get into this type of music?
Well, it's an interesting question. I don't know how to answer it. The only thing that came up to me was like, how do you teach a bird to fly? So meaning, if you're designed to do this, if this is in your soul's blueprint, then it's maybe the responsibility of the being to discover that and develop it. And I think I've been doing this, developing my whole life. So I am an intuitive. So I work in the Akashic Records, and I will open my Akashic Records and ask for guidance. So music to me is a spiritual practice. And so I think I go to a place of prayer or connecting with the divine or the light. And in this case, it would be with nature beings. And I try to be aware of the other beings that share this earth with me. And also beings of light and love, like spiritual guides that are also there to help us grow and evolve and to help us be the best we can be so that we can serve the world we live in. I believe in a life of service, and that's why my work is kind of become an offering, you know, in its little way, you know, how can I help others? How can I help move that sadness and grief through this beautiful woman's field? You're going through something. How can I serve your process so that you can grieve, so that you can clear sadness, so that you can clear energy or trauma, and to be more available to the light so that you can do your work better?
It worked. I can't wait to listen to more of your music. It's definitely the We Are the Star People was very touching as well as Do What You Love. You know, it touches every part of your, you know,
thank you.
Of my life. So,
oh, thank you, Mel. And you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, Terry was asking about the Vision Quest. I was kind of thinking about, you know, like, when did I start doing healing? It was over 30 years ago. You know, sound healing. Oh, actually, it wasn't. It was when my son was born. He's 28. It was like around 30 years ago, and I was doing a lot of yoga, and I started kind of wanting to do something that I could do, like a practice while the baby slept, you know? And so I developed the sound healing, and I developed these chakra vocalizations. I received them spiritually. I asked for a spiritual gift, and that's what I got. And then while I was rearing my children, I worked with a lot of women because I observed that women get shut down. We've been shut down, you know, collectively for centuries. This is the voice of the feminine, and we've been shut down. And I didn't set out to do it, but I realized that there was something here, because when I started, you know, like putting my shingle up and saying, yeah, I got these vocal chants, and then we can do them. And then all of a sudden people were having results. And so all of a sudden I started to have like clinical research, right? It's like, wow. Oh, wow. This works. Then I started researching, you know, this is something we've been doing for a long time, singing and dancing, moving energy in that way. And it's a very natural thing to humans. So to hear you say that, like what you said is, you know, thank you for sharing that. That's huge. And if I can be of any other service, please let me know.
Well, thank you. I know you definitely feel better when you're dancing and just, you know, being in the moment and just listening to the beat. So it's interesting. This is a new category for me as far as the electroacoustic world. So I found it very, you know, I don't know, very empowering too, you know, so it touched a lot of various different emotions in me, you know, it motivated me, and I felt, you know, saddened me at the same time, but you know, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm definitely going to listen to all of it on Spotify now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I can really feel it. Really, if there's anything I can do, please let me know. Yeah.
I definitely see that you incorporate, you know, a type of healing classes. So tell me a little bit about your teachings. I know you mentioned that you do teach at a local college.
Yes, I teach. Well, I teach independently and privately, and I have for many years. With my kinetic voice program, which is exactly what I was telling you, it's the vocalizations, the healing chants, but then they have dance movement associated, and that really helps to move energy. A lot of people they think, oh, I can't do this. I don't sing. I don't dance. It's not performance, right? This is a tool, you know, tool for moving energy. Then I've taught at the Sound Healing Institute for 15 years. I've taught there for a long, long time. And I mostly teach this kinetic voice program and also the health and healing benefits of the voice. And then I am a professor at Expressions Digital Arts College, and I teach music theory and environmental science because I have degrees in both. So yeah, it's funny. I never set out to be a teacher, but I've ended up teaching, and I actually really like it. I find it to be very, well, once again, it's like it's a great service. Right. I can help people and teach people, especially a lot of the young students who don't know that much about the environment and what we're doing. And I can just help make some change. It's a really kind of a noble profession. And I didn't realize it because I didn't want to be a teacher. I wanted to be an artist. Right. And I am. But, you know,
in a way, it's kind of both, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And And so there's kind of accepting that. You know, I'm a teacher, okay.
Beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Liz, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I've been kind of quiet this one because everything that you have shared was pretty much everything that I wanted to know. And again, just on a personal note from myself, I absolutely enjoyed your music. It definitely does touch you deep in your soul. I think that you feel that healing vibration, and this is just something that's all new to me because I'm just starting to kind of dabble in that and understand it. So having the privilege and the opportunity to have your music, you know, presented to me during this time frame in my life was perfect timing. Perfect timing. So I wanted to thank you so much. And I want to thank Terry because Terry, yeah. Terry was the one that suggests, you know, these amazing artists, and you've been such a gift, and I appreciate the fact that you took the time to come on with us. So thank you so much.
Okay, I want to thank you too, Terry. I just love you, as you know, and Dorothea, and I miss the hop community of your show. I know you had to stop it during COVID, but it was really fun. We would, I don't know, Mickey and Mel, if you know, but Terry had the show on HFM, and it was, you know, late at night, but there'd be people from all over the world listening to the show and then chatting on Facebook. And we would just like talk and say silly things. It was so much fun to share pictures. And it was really like a cool community that you created. Yeah. So thank you for, you know, continuing in that vein.
Thank you. It's been a delight. And who knows? I could be back on air. Who knows?
I hope so.
But in a way, doing this podcasting is almost the same, but not quite the same and not as good, of course, yes.
There you go. Well, there's no music, so it's kind of missing that.
Yeah. Well, music is in the words. That's what it is, you see.
Well, we want to thank you so much, and everybody's going to be able to find all of your music and how to connect with you and your website. All of that, as you guys know, in our circle of friends will be embedded into the information on the podcast. We highly recommend that you reach out to Liz and experience her music and connect with her, and also maybe take part in her Singing Tree Institute for those of you that want to do a little something to help this environment in this world. So we are excited to have you. Thank you again, Liz. Thank you again, Terry. And we are just ordinary friends trying to live an extraordinary life. And we will look forward to seeing you next week with another surprise guest from Hawk Friends. So please reach out to Terry on his Facebook, and you can find all those links at Coach Mickey Mel and Friends, and all that'll be there. So thank you so much, you guys. Have a wonderful, amazing weekend, and we love you. Bye.
Thank you. Too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye,
all. Thank Bye. You. Auf Wiedersehen.
This episode was brought to you by KeepOnSharing.com. They're calling themselves the first truly ethical social network. They'll share back 50% of their revenue with their users, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's free to register, and they never sell your information. You can list your products, events, and content for free. Adult content accounts, be gone. They're fun, positive, and encouraging sites supporting local business. In a day and age where social media sites, even well-established ones, are being brought to light left and right for their questionable and sometimes downright archaic business practices, KeepOnSharing.com is a well-needed breath of fresh air. While you can share personal content, news articles, or just about anything for fun and profit, the marketplace allows practically anyone to sell anything at any time from anywhere. But on this site, you are the boss. I cannot express how amazing it is that KeepOnSharing.com shares 50% of all revenue back with the users, on top of having a truly transparent, supportive, and clean business model. Check them out. I'm signing up. Will you? Go ahead and meet me on there. Just go to KeepOnSharing.com. A link will be provided in this episode's description.